Good. Afraid of the microphone a little bit. Yeah, but good otherwise. Thanks.
Can you briefly tell about yourself and what you did before Planable?
Geez, before Planable. It's a lifetime ago. So before Planable, I had a digital marketing agency. I was doing a lot of social media for clients. So I was kind of my current ideal customer. And I've been building that business, the agency, for just a couple of years. And afterwards, I kind of stumbled upon my co-founders during a startup weekend event that later on, became acquired by Techstars. So that was a coincidence because, again, we went to Techstars later on. But yeah, I'm a marketer at heart, turned entrepreneur, and I kind of started the business because myself and my co-founders stumbled upon the problem that we're solving, like many other typical founders do. But yeah, that's kind of the short story on myself.
And how was the idea born? Can you elaborate on what Planable does and how you initially got the idea of building such a product?
Yeah, for sure. So what Planable is, to kind of put in a comparison, it's basically Figma for content marketers. It's a collaboration tool that allows content marketers, social media managers to work together, collaborate on content, take it through approvals, iterate on it, plan, present it, basically all the back and forth that happens before content goes live. And we're currently having a great head start on what it means to collaborate on content for social media, but that's just only the beginning for Planable. We really want to be at the heart of the branded content, so kind of become the home of the branded content. And we started the company because myself and my co-founder, we both worked in agencies. So we've kind of had to work a lot on content for clients, present it to them. So we've stumbled upon this entire combination, this entire very clunky combination of PowerPoints and spreadsheets and lots of emails and all of the back and forth that happens when a creative team needs to discuss and approve content. So kind of trying to scratch our own itch is how we've managed to build a product and stumble on the idea of the product.
Planable entered a very competitive market with differentiations around social collaboration. How did you know, or how did you make sure that it really resonated well with your ideal customer base? What were the initial signs of early linings of product market fit?
Yeah, it's quite a crowded market when you think about social media management software in general. But when it comes to collaborating, prototyping, and getting content approved, there's not that much out there. You could say that, you know, Figma is in a competitive space because there's so much, you know, there's Adobe, such a big player, and so many other, you know, tools for design. But when it comes to the workflow of content marketing teams, there's, you know, the generic tools, the spreadsheets, the PowerPoints, and that's kind of what, you know, that's kind of our unique advantage, the entire approval and the entire collaboration part. We didn't know very early on that this is, you know, this is what's gonna kind of differentiate us from all the other players. And besides the gut feeling of going through that problem ourselves, in our early days, we of course had to do a lot of customer development. We had to talk to a lot of people out there and kind of make sure that this is not a problem that, you know, agency folks or marketers in Moldova and Romania struggle with, but it's something that marketers across, you know, worldwide identify with. And so we had to do a lot of those conversations. Ended up like it was a good idea. we developed the product for about 2 years. We didn't know until we started monetizing it. So for quite a really long time, we didn't know if anyone's actually going to pay for this product that we're building and got some investment for. So when people started paying us, that's when we realized, you know, when we started acquiring, you know, more revenue, that's when we realized that, yeah, this is, you know, it seems like we have product market fit. And to be honest, until the pandemic times, we didn't really knew if we actually had product market fit. So that was the ultimate test. Are we going to survive this or not?
You did grow quite fast over the past couple of years. Where do you stand right now from a traction perspective? I mean, anything you can disclose in terms of MRR, number of customers, growth, etc.?
Yeah, so we have about 3,000 customers. We're doubling year over year. And in terms of ARR, we're somewhere in the low seven figures. And yeah, we've started kind of getting revenue in the past 3-4 years. So yeah, it's been a nice ride so far.
And you pursued a product-led, freemium, bottoms-up approach. Was it a conscious decision? Was it that you wanted to go for more self-serve customers and you catered for them? Or did the market push you to build such a product?
A little bit of both. I think our background, myself as a marketer, knowing how to create campaigns and how to cater to small businesses, influenced our direction a little bit. My co-founder, our CTO, Nick, being super in love with self-service products, you know, developer that can test something, you know, implemented on his own. That was part of our philosophy as co-founders. But then when we tried going enterprise a little bit at one point, we had, you know, it's really hard to build enterprise. But we realized that it kind of the market led us in that direction as well. But it was also easier for us as experience and background for us as the founders.
You do service both agencies and enterprises. Can you give a split between the two in terms of the current revenues? And what's the geographic breakdown of your customer base?
It's about half and half in terms of agencies and brands using the product internally. And then in terms of the geography, we've started from day one as just global. You know, we launched on all kinds of beta websites, Product Hunt, all of that stuff. So we've never focused on the local markets. It was always, we always had this vision towards North America mostly. That's where we knew most of the customers are going to come from in terms of the marketing industry and the marketing space. And then, yeah, that's kind of where it landed. In the end, more than 40% of our paying customers are from North America, US, Canada, and then a large chunk is from Western Europe, and UK is a big one.
And I've been receiving your emails for the past 5-6 years, so I know how well the company grew, especially in the past 2 years, but also before then. You always had stable, predictable growth with very cash efficiently as well, much like what Bogdan did with Plant and App. You had great unit economics, great payback periods, etc. And then you built on top of that cash that you piled yourself as a business. What's for a company like Planable that does bottoms up, self-serve mostly, and then somewhat enterprise as well, what's a healthy unit economics? What's a healthy payback period? And how did that change as the company grew?
Yeah, for sure. So in the beginning, we obviously didn't measure those things. We didn't have enough data. And that's what I love about a more mature company is that you have a lot of data to play around with it. And you can make all of those models and predictions. And that's pretty awesome. So we are quite obsessed about like financial units and metrics, and we build our own spreadsheets around that. So we don't use any of those, you know, tools. We do it ourselves. So we look at a bunch of things. You know, some of the common ones that you can find online. You know, obviously runway, most important. But besides that, you know, we look at CAC payback, which in our case it's very short. It's about 3 months. I know that anything 6 months to 12 months is super okay for SMB. In our case, it's about 3 months. And then we look at burn multiple. Not really our case because we're profitable. We look at sales efficiency, which basically measures how efficiently you're spending your sales and marketing money to make value for your company. And that's somewhere around 2.5. And I know anything above 1.5 is super okay for, you know, an early stage company. So yeah, we have a bunch of metrics. One that I'm currently looking into, and I don't have a name for it. It's just something that I came up with. It's kind of a multiplier on your expenses in terms of having it as a cash in the bank. So if anyone knows if this has a name, I'd really love to know it. We call it our cushion. So it's basically something, considering the times we're currently in, it's something that we want to make sure that we have for future investments, but you know, in case winter comes, just like you mentioned earlier.
For SMB SaaS, obviously changes from market to market, but as you said, 9 to 12 months of payback is very healthy. 15 months manageable, above that, tough to fuel on growth because the working capital that you're going to need is going to be massive. You need a lot of fundraising for that. But 3 months is very low. I'm not saying in a positive way, I'm saying in a negative way, where if your payback is 3 months, maybe you're not pushing fast enough, you're not growing aggressively enough. Maybe you should try to push that payback to do more marketing and, you know, push it to above 6 months. Why aren't you doing that?
That's where cash in the bank comes in. And the last time we raised, that was in 2019, and we raised very, very little. I don't think it even qualifies for a pre-seed nowadays. So I think that's kind of where that comes in. And we've managed to build this predictable growth machine in the past year. So we're kind of catching up with it and only now kind of looking at really speeding it up. But yeah, that's kind of the answer. It's a matter of the cash in the bank and a matter of just recently discovering this thing.
And I want to deep dive into your LTV and CAC, because I know you're obsessed with it. You always had great unit economics. So we don't have to go number by number, but which figures do you put into your LTV and how do you calculate that? You can also give in terms of different tiers or types of customers. And then what do you put into your CAC?
Yeah, for sure. So into our CAC, we look at all the marketing expenses in terms of advertising budgets, but also, you know, sponsorships, software that you use for our marketing and sales team. We also look at the salary. So everyone that's involved, not the support, not the customer success team, because it's for acquisition, but everyone in the sales team, including myself part-time, and everyone else, my co-founders that do sales, and everyone else in the marketing team, their salary is going to that, and everything else in terms of software and advertising budgets, that goes into the CAC. And then for LTV, we look at it, we split it by SMB and by enterprise, so our higher tier customers, and it's quite a typical formula to calculate LTV, just, you know, the churn that goes into it. Yeah.
Again, this changes from company to company, but for companies like Planable, we're looking for LTV of CAC of at least 3x and potentially more. I know for a fact that you guys have much more than that, but that's what we're looking at as VCs, at least at the early stages of a company. And what different types of sales methodologies have you pursued? So where did growth come from and what else have you tried that didn't work out?
Yeah, we were just talking to Bogdan about our SEO and how awesome it is. And yeah, SEO is one of those things that we've built for a really long time and I'm only now seeing the results of it, but that's just the game of SEO in general. And then ads, Google search ads mostly worked for us. And then a lot of word of mouth. A lot of our customers are very, you know, they love the product, they talk about it, they refer us to their friends in the business. So it's a lot of kind of organic, but also more and more of the of being more specialized and more accurate in how we do our ads, our SEO, content marketing in general. And then we've tapped, more recently, we've tapped into the entire world of product-led sales, kind of looking at our signups, using it as a machine for our sales team.
Interesting. And further on my point about LTV over CAC and what VCs look at, as we calculate CAC, you can look at it from a blended perspective. You can say, hey, I spent $100,000, I got 100 customers, so it has to be $1,000 per customer overall. But the organic that comes, or the word of mouth that comes, it's tough to scale that. And when you pour money into a business, chances are the paid marketing channels are going to be able to scale much faster. So we try to divide that into two. And in the CAC portion, instead of looking at it as blended as a VC, you try to look at the paid CAC, which is the customers that you actually acquire by spending money on them. And that has to have that has to be positive as well, because we're going to be pouring money into that machine. And hopefully it's going to yield positive results. I want to go back 6 years when you first started Planable. Hyper-competitive space. You're in Romania. You're trying to do an initial pre-seed round. How tough was it? And you went to Techstars, which I guess really helped a lot. That wasn't a possibility. What else have you done to be able to get that initial source of funding?
So we actually started with a small pre-accelerator in Cluj. That's where Planable was born. So we got a small investment, about 20K investment from there. So that was the beginning for us. We took that money to build the product for about a year and a half, 2 years. And then we got into Techstars. So that was kind of our journey. By the time we were applying to Techstars for the fourth time and in parallel to 500 startups for the third time and to YC and to all the accelerators out there, Yeah, back then it was cool. Yeah, we were kind of running out of that 20K, as you can imagine, after 2 years of eating ramen. We were kind of at the end of our runway. So in parallel, of course, you know, after applying so many times to accelerators and not getting in, I obviously had a plan B. So we were looking at raising a round here in Romania from angels, you know, something in the 50K, something like that, just to, you know, get us to launching pricing and monetizing and getting, you know, making some revenue. So that was plan B. Luckily, you know, we didn't have to go to that. And we ended up, you know, with Techstars, which is, you know, a great program in terms of networking, opening doors and, you know, advice, all of that stuff. It was a really good one.
Now that you have seven figures in ARR, I know for a fact that you raised from international investors back in 2019. Do you think it's much easier to raise from international funds from the UK or the US with a company that's actually validated growth, validated in economics, has downside protected and a bunch of upside still to go?
Like back in the times when I raised right now, if it would be easier to raise right now for the type of company like ours? Yeah, I think so. We do definitely get our share of request and kind of reach outs from investors. I think it could definitely maybe democratize the Zoom calls, but and it made things, you know, a bit more open than they were back then. You had to be in London back then to raise if you wanted to raise, or you had to be in SF. Or I remember the topic of being in the US. If I'm building a business for the US market was such a crucial one. Like I was being put in touch, you know, with visa advisors. So that was quite big, you know, being in the US if you're building a company for the US market. I think that's not the case anymore as it was back then. So I think it made things a little bit easier in terms of building a customer from Romania that serves the US market or the Western Europe, and not having that as a request from investors, maybe. I don't know.
I discussed this with Ragnar from Pipedrive because he also had a similar situation where they wanted the Pipedrive team to relocate to the US. And God knows this was probably 15 years ago, you know, unable to get that funding because enterprise SaaS was a US play and companies were raising from the US, growing in the US, exiting into the US market, which is not the case anymore. I mean, if you look into Pipedrive, the main defensibility of Pipedrive is it's one of the top three players in 25 countries around the globe. So sure, you can beat Pipedrive in, I don't know, Poland, you can beat Pipedrive in Egypt, but can you beat Pipedrive in 25 countries? It's impossible. So that builds a bigger moat around that, being able to be the one of the top three players in dozens of countries around the world instead of actually penetrating the US market. What should we expect from Planable over the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years?
Well, what a question. I think in terms of, I mentioned that earlier on, in terms of the product, it was really hard in the beginning to talk about Planable to investors, like social media, what? And also, like, isn't that space already figured out? Like, there's Hootsuite, of course, you know? So I talked about this earlier on, about our vision and what we want to do with the product. And I'm super passionate about that. I think expanding into other formats of content beyond social media is kind of the real mission for Planable. And it's really something that could improve, you know, the lives of marketers, kind of to ditch spreadsheets and PowerPoints and the Google Docs for whatever type of content they're producing. So that's certainly something that you can expect from Planable, not in the next 3 years, but, you know, actually in the upcoming quarters, because it's something that we're already building. And yeah, that's kind of on the product end, yeah.
Thanks a lot for joining. The pizza is here. Hopefully over the next 2 to 3 years, our roads will collide again, because it didn't, unfortunately, 6 years ago. I think the main problem that we had as a fund, and we discussed this earlier, was that we weren't spending enough time in Romania, and trying to give founder-led decisions without spending enough time was not possible. Hopefully it's going to be possible now. Well, thanks for joining.
To stay in the loop, go to our website, getcc.com, or follow us at GetCC'd on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube.